The mayor says crippling pension debt is holding Jacksonville back from fixing its deepest issues. This morning, local faith leaders give their response. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. The show's always live at 9. Make sure to subscribe to the daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and watch the show now, video on demand at our partner TVJax.com. Just ahead, the faith leaders of the local group iCare take your calls. We want your calls now at 549-2937. Then later, we'll tell you all about the talented kids at La Villa School of the Arts as they take on an ambitious project, an original full-length opera. All of that and more ahead on the show. But first this hour, this week, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry told a crowd of about 1,000 people that the city's pension woes are the main reason City Hall can't address long-standing problems here in Northeast Florida. The Interfaith Coalition iCare, that stands for Interfaith Coalition for Action, Reconciliation, and Empowerment, led its very well-attended 2016 Nehemiah Assembly this week. The mayor was the focus of attention as iCare pressed Curry on four areas of concern: wealth building on the city's northwest side, reopening the homeless day resource center in downtown Jacksonville, ex-offender reentry programs, and the longstanding issue of restorative justice and civil citations. Curry pushed back. This morning, we're recapping what took place at the big iCare get-together as we welcome three leaders from the organization, Father Hugh Chapman, Pastor Philip Baber, and the Reverend Bruce Havens. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa.
And here's our question to callers. What are your thoughts about Mayor Curry's contention that until the city's pension problems get addressed, with his proposal to extend a half-cent sales tax, the issues that are concerning the iCare Coalition cannot be addressed? We want your calls, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet us or weigh in on our Facebook page. And so, Mayor Curry, not backing down as he stood on a stage in front of about 1,000 people at your assembly Tuesday night, saying that until these pension issues are solved, there is no money for new programs. It's my understanding that you have a response that you've prepared for what the mayor had to say. Who's going to give the response?
That'll be me, Melissa. And just one note, it was closer to 2,000 people that we had in attendance that evening. Monday night at the 2016 Nehemiah Assembly, nearly 2,000 people of faith rallied to see our superintendent, our sheriff, and our mayor address the issues of homelessness, crime, and unemployment in our city. We cheered as we listened to our superintendent share with us the progress he has made in expanding restorative justice programs throughout our schools, programs that have helped our young people learn from their mistakes while also keeping them in the classroom. We gave our resounding approval to the sheriff when he explained the steps he will take to expand civil citations to ensure that our young people are not arrested merely for making youthful indiscretions, steps including making a public service announcement to promote the use of these civil citations and educate our community about their value. We were encouraged when our sheriff committed to work towards increasing funding for the Jacksonville Reentry Center so that more ex-offenders can get access to the resources they need to avoid a return to crime. And we were encouraged to hear our mayor endorse an employee-owned business initiative that will bring sustainable wealth to the residents of Northwest Jacksonville. However, we were deeply disappointed that on a night where nearly 2,000 people came together to lift up their concerns about the most vulnerable in our city, on a night that was supposed to give voice to the voiceless of Jacksonville, on a night that people of faith dedicated to raising awareness about the plight of our poor and our homeless, our mayor chose to draw attention away from the issues that we invited him to address, and instead used our assembly as a platform to advance his pension plan. Now, we acknowledge the importance of the pension issue to the city. But regardless whether a pension plan passes or not, homeless families will still be homeless. And our moral responsibility to care for the most vulnerable people in our community is not contingent upon the results of any vote. We were also disappointed that many in the media following this once-a-year opportunity missed the opportunity to amplify the voice of our city's most marginalized, whose needs are going unmet. And that is why we would like to give Father Hugh and Reverend Havens an opportunity this morning to share why the Homeless Day Center is so important, so vital to the city, and why ex-offender reentry services are so vital.
Father Hugh Chapman.
The center is important because hundreds of our people have nowhere to go during the day and therefore have to make use of the library and Hemming Plaza. Remember now, the city did have a day center for about a year and a half, but it was subsequently closed. That center served on an average some 150 persons each day. These fellow citizens need a place that would allow them to connect with some wraparound services, a place that would afford them basic needs, such as bathroom facilities. It is noteworthy that the city pays hundreds of dollars to incarcerate a homeless person for loitering. Well, it did cost just $10 a day to serve that very individual at the day center. So we at ICARE feel that this is not about increasing the budget, but rather about spending our tax dollars more wisely. So here's what we're asking for. We're asking Mayor Curry to allocate $311,000 in his budget for 2017 so that the center could be reopened. We hope that he and his staff will work with us to secure that funding. Our ex-offenders also face challenges, real problems, after their release from prison. I want to invite Pastor Haven to share with you why the ex-offender reentry services are so important.
Okay, let's go now to Reverend Havens.
Melissa, we were excited in our research to find out, as our people in our grassroots listening brought to us this issue of ex-offenders reoffending, to find out that our city had a national model of success for addressing this issue. So we found out that over the past year alone, the Jacksonville Reentry Center had saved the city and the sheriff's office budget over $4.5 million in 1 year, and they were only meeting the needs of less than half of those who really could use those services. So we're very excited about seeing that each of them get those necessary resources, housing access, employment. Just an ID card is an important thing, and that can be very difficult. We found that one in three persons who leave the jail after offending reoffend within a year. But with the services of the Jacksonville Reentry Center, that drops to one in five. So the excitement about this model is that it works, and that it's valuable, and that it saves millions of dollars. It actually only represents less than 0.5% of the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office budget. So we understand that budgets are tight, but budgets also represent values and priorities, whether it's my personal budget, a business budget, or a city budget. And we know that the sheriff has said he believes that this center is a priority and that helping keep offenders from reoffending is a priority. We're asking and challenging him to make it a priority in his budget.
We'll go to your calls for the faith leaders of ICARE in just a moment. The number 549-2937. Pastor Philip Baber, the other night you did challenge the mayor to include that $300,000 and change in the city's budget for the homeless day center. Mayor Curry was repeatedly challenged on that, it's my understanding, and he said not in this budget cycle. He said no.
That is correct.
So how will you then continue to press this issue in the face of the no that you got?
Well, ICARE is absolutely a democratic organization, and so we are going to go back to our leadership. We are going to go back to our people. We are going to come up with a plan to continue to make sure that our mayor realizes this is a priority regardless of whether or not this pension plan passes. We are going to keep it in front of his desk.
And I realize as well that the coalition challenged the mayor saying that a city budget is in fact a moral document. I know that was a big part of the discussion. What's your response to his position that he's sympathetic to these issues, but that the pension debt is so overwhelming that he's got to solve that problem first? What's your response, all of you, to that?
I think one of the key things is that is not our issue. Our issues are the issues that our faith communities tell us are most important to them. We certainly support the solving of that problem. But I think it's important that we not lose sight of what more than, you know, 10,000 congregational members around our community have told us they feel is important to be addressed.
And lots of calls as we speak with the leaders of iCare. That's the Interfaith Coalition for Action, Reconciliation, and Empowerment. You might have been at their very large assembly this week, the Nehemiah Assembly. What are your questions about this? The number to join the show, 549-2937. And we'll go to your emails and tweets in just a moment. Let's begin with Carlos in Jacksonville. Hi, Carlos. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. This is Carlos. Listen, I was just wanting to let them know that the city at this time I know is working with the Clear White Initiative with ex-offenders. And they do have a program that where we train them through the prison system. And they're also working with the Clear White Mission to open up the day center, drop center, so that homeless people can shower and stuff. So it's not that they're not really quite doing it. It may be a little bit tight on the cash. I think what we also need to focus, however, and we need to put a major emphasis on, is employers, because they're the ones that restrict ex-offenders from being hired. We have a tough time, and there are a lot of companies that just won't hire somebody, won't give them a second chance. So I think the emphasis needs to be put on businesses, that they need to realize that if they don't hire people, these people have no other choice but to try to survive. So I want to hear their opinions on that.
Okay, thanks for that call, Carlos. Father Chapman.
Yes, I think it's commendable that the mayor embraces what we are attempting to do. But here's the reality. We feel that for this center to become what we are expecting it to be, the build-out at Clara White, we need leadership. And this is what we have been calling on the mayor to do. We've had very productive meetings with his staff, but the dollars matter. And so we believe as an organization that the mayor, with his very positive leadership that he's providing, his embrace of this project, then this will become a reality. We are very confident that this can happen.
549-2937. Michael in Fernandina Beach. Go ahead, Michael. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just calling to thank the program today for putting on this important issue about the homeless population. And I wanted to ask a question about the mayor and his position on the pension benefits. Are any of these pension benefits going to be ending anytime soon, or is this going to be a problem every cycle? He said that he can't address it this cycle, but maybe kind of left open for the future. Are the pension benefits going to be different next year?
Sure. Let's talk about that for a minute. And I realize, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, Pastor, you didn't appreciate the themes you were trying to bring forth being co-opted by this pension situation. And I know you want to keep talking about that, but let me quickly answer his question in that Mayor Curry wants to put this to the voters in August, where we would vote up or down a half-cent sales tax extension that would go all the way to the year 2030 that would pay down the city's unfunded pension liability. To really oversimplify it, it's like paying down old credit card debt that would go a long way toward getting the city in a more stable financial position, and that could potentially free up future budget cycles for these issues. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll just repeat what we said earlier, that you know, the pension is not an iCare issue. And as you mentioned yourself, Melissa, we are here to really bring the spotlight back to the issues that are important to our constituents.
And by your constituents, you're talking about the most vulnerable, marginalized citizens of this community, not just homeless folks. Who else?
Absolutely. We're talking about the homeless population of Jacksonville. We're talking about the poor and dispossessed, particularly in Northwest Jacksonville, which has a unemployment rate that is at 100% higher than the rest of the nation. We're talking about young people who are getting arrested and being put on that school-to-prison pipeline. We're talking about ex-offenders who have paid their debt to society and are looking for ways to successfully re-enter our communities. Those are the people that we're standing in solidarity with. Those are the voices that we're giving voice to.
549-2937. Lots of calls coming in. Gail is driving around town. Hey, Gail. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask about priorities in the budget. I understood that there was a significant amount of money given for enhancements to all Everbank field. It was matching funds, and I wonder why that would be a priority over the needs of people.
Okay, thanks for that question. Who wants to take that one? Bruce Havens.
Again, I want to be careful that I'm not an expert on the city's budget, but budgets represent priorities, and we are calling for the prioritizing of those who don't get much of a priority in the city's budget, and we're not asking for a lot of money. The increase to the reentry center that we're asking for still will represent little less than 1% of the sheriff's budget, and as we all know, the popular thing is hire more officers. That's certainly a good move, but even the sheriff himself has said you can't arrest your way out of our problems.
It sounds as though overall you were pleased with the feedback you got from Sheriff Williams.
Oh, definitely. We were very pleased. I think he was well received by those attending because our hope is that there'll be greater cooperation between the community and policing.
Mm-hmm. And what about the caller's comment? And believe me, it's a comment many callers have made over the years. How can the city afford to lavishly fund the football stadium and so forth, which isn't all public funding, of course, but the optics of that aren't so hot, let's be frank, when we see swimming pools in the stadium and the like, and then at the same time, groups like iCare are pleading for even a little bit of funding for the most vulnerable people in the city.
As Reverend Havens mentioned earlier, our budgets reflect our values, and it tells us who we are going to put priorities on, and I think that our budget currently does that, and we need to make sure that our budget does reflect the true values of Jacksonville.
Here's the other side of it. I think that what we're asking for, certainly in terms of the day center, is minuscule compared to the other demands that are being made of the mayor. And all we are saying, if we're going to continue to talk about One Jax, it must mean also attending to the needs, the concerns of the less fortunate among us.
And the iCare Coalition is citywide, interfaith, all faith groups just about represented. It was formed to hold city officials' feet to the fire, not just the mayor, but whoever is in office. How will you continue to do this beyond holding meetings, speaking out? It's a coalition for action and empowerment. That's what it stands for.
Well, we've been excited that over the years we've accomplished a great deal of things that have made a great difference. One of the things we're exciting about, we haven't talked about, but in the past, for example, Jacksonville had sections of our town that had an infant mortality rate that was that of third world countries. We found a solution from the World Health Organization called Baby Friendly Initiative. We got all six of the birthing center hospitals to agree to implement that. And already around, I'm going to say the wrong name of the hospital, not Shands, University of Florida.
Uh-huh. UF Health, yeah.
UF Health.
The former Shands.
Right.
Yeah.
They've already seen a very powerful drop in the number of infant deaths. And so those kinds of things are the things that our people tell us we need to address.
Let's go to Mark on the south side now. Hi, Mark. Thanks for holding. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, Melissa. Nice to hear your voice. It's been a while since I called in. I just wanted to call in and point out once again to your listeners and your panel that elections matter. Everybody went out and voted for this man, Lane Curry. You should not be surprised to what he's doing now. And as far as how come you can get money for the stadium and not homeless people, well, that's because Sean Kahn has the action behind his voice of about 25,000 voters, whereas the average homeless person that you're talking about on your panel today has the voice of, I don't know, zero.
Thanks for that call. Yeah, well, you're here to be a voice for that voiceless group, in effect, right?
That's why iCare exists. We're here to stand in solidarity with these marginalized individuals in Jacksonville and give them voice.
Danny in Jacksonville Beach. Go ahead, Danny.
Hi. I was at the iCare assembly, and what really struck me were the sheer numbers that Lane Curry seemed to ignore, that we have 1,566 people in Duval County who are homeless, and that we could be saving, for each homeless person, almost $31,000 a year. So $300,000 is like chunk change to me compared to what we could be saving for our city's budget.
I couldn't agree more. And this is why we believe that we must continue to negotiate with the mayor and bring before him those kinds of facts that he's going to be helping a certain sector of our population that remains vulnerable, this is what we must do. We have a moral obligation to do this.
Now, to be fair to the current administration, the decision to shutter the homeless center came during the previous, the Alvin Brown administration. Isn't that correct?
Well, it was a two-year pilot program that was not re-upped during the Mayor Brown's administration. That is correct.
Right. So Mayor Curry has inherited the budget woes of the last administration. He's inherited these pension issues. But it's your contention that you're going to keep pressing on these issues.
Right. We certainly understand the pension issue is important, and we believe that that is important for the whole community. We focus, and because we're not experts on that, we want to focus on what we've done our research on and what our people tell us are the things that matter to those who usually don't get heard.
And here's an email from Bill about the day center. Where would the day center be located? Existing infrastructure is already robust in the urban core. People become homeless everywhere, but they are concentrated downtown due to the services. Break that vicious cycle. You could look to cities such as Charlotte and Cincinnati for examples as to what they've done.
Well, there's already a plan in place to do a build-out at Clara White. And we have the proposed budget.
And that's downtown. Yeah.
That has been presented. It's downtown, so it doesn't represent any great challenge to the homeless community in accessing
okay.
that facility.
I hope that answers Bill's question. Let's go to Maria on JTB. Hi, Maria. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Just kind of a quick question for the panel. If listeners want to get involved and become more active with helping you guys fight your fight, do you have a website? Are your positions online someplace? Do we email the mayor? What do you suggest we do to help?
That is a perfect way to wrap this segment up. How can more people get involved in the work of iCare?
Well, we are on the web. We are at iCareJax.org. And we invite everyone to check that out and to send us some contact information, and we will get back to you. And we would also like to say that if you are involved with any type of a church or a faith community, tell your minister, get involved.
But people don't have to be part of a church to get involved.
Not
either,
necessarily.
Right? Okay. And it's iCareJax.org as we thank Father Hugh Chapman, Pastor Philip Baber, and the Reverend Bruce Havens. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Much more still ahead, but first, here's how you can support 89.9. Help us meet our goal. Here's how.
By calling us at 353-9528, we are oh so close. We're at 71,416, which means we just have 8,584 to go. We can wrap up this pledge drive and end it 2 days early with your help. 353-9528. Michelle.
That's right. We haven't gone anywhere. We are still waiting for your phone call at 353-9528. And we are inching in on that final goal. We're going to finish this off today. If you have worked at or work at Clay County Behavioral Health, that's Clay County Behavioral Health. This one's for you. We have a match challenge from someone, a clinical director that used to work there. If you are willing to, this person is willing to match the donation of anyone, former or current employed by Clay Behavioral Health, up to $500.
Wow.
That would go a long way. Thank you so much to this person issuing that challenge. If that's you out there, Clay Behavioral Health employee, former or current, give us a call at 353-9528. Your pledge will be matched by a very generous former clinical director there.
And listener and supporter of this, your public radio station, 353-9528. We have done a little different this time. We had 3 weeks of kind of quiet pledging, which really got us almost a little more than halfway to our goal of 80,000. So now we're just in what we are calling the last day of the goal, Michelle.
It is.
We can get folks to call us now. If we can get 10 callers at every break we do from now until 2 o'clock, we could close this up and put the pledge drive to bed until the fall. No more interruptions, just full-time great programming.
Sleepy time till the fall.
That's it.
That's right, yeah.
Pick a show you really like here. Maybe it's one of our music programs. Maybe it's Diane Rehm. Maybe it's First Coast Connect, our favorite show here, our local show, our flagship program. Call up now. Support this program. If you like to stay up late at night, we've got Relax Radio now 7 days a week from midnight to 5. Music for Dreams.
Love that show.
All the music from your life played for 5 hours every night overnight. So if you're an insomniac, this will help ease your nights and help put you to sleep. And if you like great music, then call us now at 353-9528. We can't do it without your help. That is true. And this is just a portion of what we pay. We pay $500,000 for the programming. we're trying to raise 80,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a far, there's right. a big gap between those two, but it's huge. If we can raise 80,000, that really helps us pay for the program.
Yeah, and we know so many of you out there listen and have, for whatever reason, have not given at any point. Many of you have, and we thank you. But if you are listening to my voice right now and you have not given to your local public radio and television station during a pledge drive at all, please, let's make this the first day, and we'll make the process easy for you. If you'd like to do it yourself, just go to WJCT.org. You will feel great about your decision because you know how much you use this service. It is your public radio, public television station here at WJCT. So go to WJCT.org and make a generous pledge. Whatever you can afford, it all helps, and we need it right now.
We're just about 15 seconds away from going back to the program, so won't you please make that call now and show your support for First Coast Connect at 353-9528 or WJCT.org.
Welcome back. Well, Baptist Medical Center Jacksonville and the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute are the first in this region, North Florida and Southeast Georgia, to offer something really innovative. It's Makoplasty. Hip arthroplasty. Now, this technology is the latest innovation in total hip replacement surgery, which lots of people need at some point. And it's performed using what's known as the RIO system. That's a highly advanced surgeon-controlled robotic arm. And it enables the accurate alignment and positioning of implants. Here to share the news with us, we welcome Dr. Stephen Lucy, orthopedic surgeon with JOI and Baptist Health. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
This is really good news for people needing hip replacement. How does this change the game when it comes to this procedure?
Well, some of the biggest problems we had with total hips is getting the leg lengths right and also the positioning of the socket. And as good as surgeons as we are, these things, still we were getting off a little bit. Using computer navigation in this robot, we can get it right every time. And what that means to the patient is, if we put them in perfectly, they're going to last longer. And that's one of the things everybody wants to know. How long is it going to last? And with this technique, it's going to be quite a bit longer.
Robotics are revolutionizing so many fields, and surgery is one of them. So it's the brain of the surgeon working with a robotic arm in conjunction. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's the surgeon does the approach. He plans the procedure. What the robot does is just precisely get a few angles right, and it also gives the surgeon the feedback on what he's doing and making sure that it's done perfectly.
And you use a 3D image to make this work too, right?
Exactly. That's the computer navigated part. You actually create a virtual image of your hip on a computer screen, 3D. And with that, you can rotate and plan a procedure so it fits you, not just somebody like you.
Now, there's been a lot of discussion in recent years that robots could eventually automate all of us out of a job, which is a concern. But this doesn't replace the human hands in the operating room, does it?
No, in no field, at least in medicine so far. Maybe in certain parts of manufacturing, but I think the doctor's job is pretty safe for now.
So how have the results been for patients that have undergone this?
They've been quite good. You know, the procedure does take a little bit longer because of all the technical aspects and the computer navigation, but we make up for it in that they seem to recover faster. Mm-hmm. That and plus some other innovative things we've done over at Baptist to help with pain relief. We're seeing patients go home, in many cases, the next day or in 2 days where they used to stay in the hospital longer or even go to rehab for a week or two.
And patients that have hip pain and need this procedure, it's agony. I've seen several folks that contribute in one way or another here at WJCT go through this. And it is really not fun. Who's a candidate for this kind of procedure?
You know, it's funny. People, when they say their hip hurts, a lot of people grab their butt. And a lot of times that's back pain. But hip pain is usually in the groin or just on the outside portion of the hip. And when they start bearing weight and they're getting pain in that area and limping, that's usually time to get a doctor to check it and get an x-ray.
And JOI, we need to mention, is part of this. People can go to joionline.net. Now, this has been going on for a little bit of time. So you've got a phone number up and running. It's 904-JOI-2000, 904-JOI-2000. Easy to get in the pipeline if this is a procedure people need.
Absolutely. We have a new call center that's making these appointments much more efficient, quicker, and the patients seem to like the experience.
He's Dr. Stephen Lucy, orthopedic surgeon with JOI, that's Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, and Baptist Health. It's the new Makoplasty. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
$5 billion. Most sources predict $5 billion are being spent on the race to the White House. WJCT and public radio won't receive any of that money or play any of those commercials. We don't sell political advertising. In fact, it's just the opposite. We anticipate increased expenses in election years. And that's where you come in. Your contribution right now will help us pay for the high-quality, dependable coverage you need to make your decision in November. Give online right now at WJCT.org.
Downton Abbey you've heard about, but not all of England's landmark estates have held up as well, you know.
This was my father's dressing room, and this was where the ceiling fell down. You can see it.
Yes, I know Downton was make-believe. I'm Kai Rosdahl, a tour of Milton Manor, next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Your coffee beans, your soda cans, your smartphone. Ever think about the distance they traveled before you purchased them? On the next Fresh Air, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Edward Humes discusses his new book, Door to Door, about the transportation infrastructure behind our consumer-driven economy and possible transportation breakthroughs like the driverless car. Join us. Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Did it happen in one day? Nope. The Golden State Warriors are on the verge of making NBA history, and the city they call home, Oakland, is reveling in the team's success.
The support that we receive around here is amazing, and so, you know, you can tell that it's doing a lot for the city. It's bringing life to the city.
A team and a city rising together, later on All Things Considered from NPR News. Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, it is an incredible achievement for the talented kids at Jacksonville's La Villa School of the Arts. This week, the middle school students, yes, their middle school, will produce a full-length opera. It's called Jared, A Tale of Freedom, Control, and Choice. Loosely based on the classic Don Giovanni, everything from the music and the script to the set design was produced by these 12 and 14-year-old students, a first of its kind. Now, the show takes the stage at La Villa Thursday and Friday, but we got a preview. Take a listen. And we're joined by Sean Pendry, Faculty Project Director, and Opera Cast members Jeremy Goodson and Nadia Nightingale. Let's begin with you guys, eighth graders at La Villa School of the Arts. Nadia, this opera, this original work, is called Jared. Tell us about it.
It is about a teenager that has too much control, and you get to see the consequences as the opera goes on. And it has a lot of themes to it, mm-hmm. but
but a huge accomplishment, Jeremy, for kids your age to compose and perform and stage an original opera in eighth grade. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's great to see all these, you know, young people that are my age and to be able to work with them and stuff. It's amazing.
Sean, tell us a little bit about how these kids put this together, because it's getting a lot of discussion around town. What an achievement they've been able to pull off.
Well, it started as a concept piece. It was really a let's see what can happen when we let the reins loose a little bit in public education. And I had a very gifted composition class, and it was one of those of let's see what happens if. Mm-hmm. So we pitched the idea with the idea that we would just write a few songs. And in that class, they came up with a plot. And then we put a notice on the board outside that said, theater students, if you want to come and help us write this. Uh-huh. And several theater students ended up writing a script. And then before we knew it, we had a 50-page script. The composition students took it apart and composed as much of it as they could before the school year ended. And then many of them came back in the summer to finish what is now a 500-page orchestral score for these students to pick up and then take to the stage.
Wow. So what was the most challenging part of this whole process, would you say?
Well, for me, since it was definitely the acting aspect.
The acting piece, not the music piece.
Not the music, but the most challenging part is the acting aspect of it. It's very new to me. Mm-hmm. And of course, getting new to anything is a challenge. It's something that you have to get through.
Nadia, what about you? Did you compose any music, or is your part in this acting as well?
Honestly, to me, the hardest thing about this is getting to rehearsals on time. I did compose a little bit. I kind of helped rewrite one scene because there was one part that we didn't really know how we would stage it, so we had to add some people, so I helped mm-hmm. do that.
How many kids total can take a credit for this production?
Oh, I was putting together that list this morning. Mm-hmm. It is the amount of hands that have touched this project now for students is easily up over 150.
Wow,
in some way,
amazing.
Shape, or form. And the coolest part of the project, as Nadia was just saying, is the sort of live creation aspect. The scene she's talking about, the stage director said, I need this to happen. And so they just went in the other room and rewrote the piece mm-hmm. to make what the stage director said plausible. And I came in and they were just re-singing, adding harmonies, adding another group of people, and making live art. It was extraordinary.
There's also a GoFundMe aspect to this. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. We started a GoFundMe account to start to pay for some of the bills that we have up front. Ticket sales can pay for some things, but when we have to put on a large production, there are some things we have to do ahead of time. And this is the first time in history anybody's approached a brand new production like this with this age. As one of my peers said, there's probably a reason no one's done this before. So we've been learning as we go, but we did start a GoFundMe account, which people can search LaVilla and Opera on the GoFundMe, or they can type in GoFundMe.com/CW7S8HWS.
That's not hard to remember at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
Or they can come to the performance of Jared at LaVilla, which is set for April 14th and 15th, right?
Yes, ma'am. At 7 o'clock will be showtime. 6:30, the doors will open. We do have some pre-sale tickets that will be available after school in the next couple weeks.
It's so exciting, and I'm thrilled to meet all of you. It is the 8th graders of LaVilla School of the Arts producing an original opera. It's Jared. Go see the show on the 14th and 15th at the downtown LaVilla School of the Arts location. Kudos to all of you. Break a leg and give yourselves a hand.
Thank you so much.
In advance. Thanks so much for being here. I look forward to seeing it.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks for letting us come.
That's Jared tomorrow night and Friday night at the LaVilla School of the Arts. And in a moment, don't miss the live in-studio performance from the cast of Ponte Vedra Christ Episcopal Church, Peter Pan. That's in a moment.
Artists, would you like your photography, music, paintings, or poetry featured on WJCT? Submit your work to The Square, an online gallery and competition for local artists. Winners get a quality video produced by WJCT about their work. If you submitted during a past round, you can submit again. Share your work now at wjct.org/thesquare. Presented by WJCT and Grassroots Natural Market.
Coming up on the next reveal.
We walked to the mountains. It was cold. It was snowing.
Abdul fled Afghanistan when he was 15 to find refuge in England. But now, the country he considers home wants to send him back.
I'm scared of the Taliban. They're still looking for me.
Kids crossing borders on their own. On the next reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Join WJCT at the Timucua National Ecological and Historic Preserve on April 16th to explore the outdoors. Kids will have the opportunity to become a National Park Junior Ranger, hunt for nature treasures, win prizes, and more. Curious George will be on hand with Main Metal Recycling, teaching families how to recycle. This fun family event is free and runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Go to wjct.org/events for more information.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
We see the laughs, the smiles, on stage and screen when the actor magically inhabits someone else's role. But the hardest character to play is the one without a script. On the next Snap Judgment, the performer. Snap Judgment, storytelling with the beat. Do not miss it.
Sundays at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
Well, finally this hour, it's your chance to visit Neverland. Produced by Christ Episcopal Church, an exciting and new adaptation of J.M. Barrie's classic Peter Pan debuts tonight. It's written and directed by the talented Jason Woods. He's here in studio along with some pirates from Neverland. Hey, everybody!
Arr!
I think this is the most people we've ever had in this small studio. Jason Woods, you've done it again. A new adaptation of Peter Pan. What inspired this?
We were going to do The Sound of Music, and something happened with the rights, and we were in a situation where we needed a show. And
uh-huh.
I had adapted it before. It was quite different. And it was just a response, and people were really positive, and it just has become something wonderful.
Okay, so this is the classic tale that we all know and love, but there are some tweaks, some changes. What's new?
New songs.
Original songs.
Original score underneath it as well. Some really incredible costumes, some puppetry for Nana, the Crocodile, and Tinkerbell. And an amazing cast, amazing costumes, amazing lighting, just everything, incredible cast.
And there's a very large crocodile that's part of this production, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
He's about 20 feet long.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's friends with the dragon.
And is there somebody in the crocodile costume, or how do you create the illusion?
There's two puppeteers that drive him around the aisle, so to speak, and he sneaks around the audience with a big clock in the middle.
You're doing such innovative theater work. Of course, people loved your one-man performances, Ebenezer Scrooge with A Christmas Carol. What inspires your process to come up with these creative ways of doing new takes on classic stories?
There's something about the stories that endure, that resonate with me, that I find that resonate with other people. And I just try to choose ways to perform theater that inspire me and that allow other people to have their imaginations stirred and find a way to involve them in some way, whether it's physically or even as an audience member just being transported.
Now, the pirates are a big part of this production, Captain Hook and his crew, right?
Mm-hmm, indeed.
And you composed an original song to really showcase what they bring to the table.
Yeah, and I have to say that they really inspired some of my process. I had a few songs written, and the more they rehearsed and the more they brought to the table, the more I responded with new material for them.
In fact, this is a cast and crew of 70. I can't believe this. You're releasing the cast recording in the next week or so on Google Play, iTunes, and Amazon. And before we hear the pirates sing, You want to give away four tickets right now.
I do. If you go to readyforneverland.com and enter a code I'm about to say, if the first person to email me the code that I'm about to give on readyforneverland.com, just hit the contact button in the upper right, and the code is TICK-TOCK.
Very nice. And they get four free tickets
four
to the
tickets
show.
For Thursday night. That's April 14th. We're not able to exchange those, and these aren't for cast and crew members and family. These are for people who haven't heard about the show or are for the first time today.
Right now, a special treat, because we have a little bit of a preview of Peter Pan as the pirates in the production perform the Crocodile Song. This is a new original song. Let's listen.
Do you hear that, Smee?
Yes, and I feel it too.
Save me, Smee. It's the crocodile. Save me, Smee.
Ticking sound that's coupled with the talking. The crocodile is near, it's his dinner he is stalking. He sneaks around the aisle, searching for the captain. That toothy wicked smile has him calling for a chaplain.
He's big, he's long, his scales are green. He will consume most anything. He ain't a monk, he did not cook. And now he wants the rest of Captain Who.
So if you hear the clock, do not pursue this rhythm. It's the music of the croc looking for another victim. And when the clock runs down, we know just what will happen. If he cannot hear the sound, then it's curtains for Captain Hook.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. That's one little example of this incredible original production you can check out beginning tonight as a preview performance tonight.
Yeah, and tonight it happens to be half price. I mean, there's 200 seats, first come, first serve, and then the rest of the tickets are available online at readyforneverland.ticketleap.com.
Get your tickets now for Peter Pan out in Ponte Vedra. The incredibly talented writer-director Jason Woods and the cast of Peter Pan, a full cast and crew of 70. Give yourselves a hand.
Arrgh.
All right. Arrgh. And that's our show. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Diane Rehm is up in just a few minutes. But right now, this is how you can support 89.9 and all of our programming. Here's how you do it.
By calling 353-9528. That was an excellent performance,
yeah,
as usual. First Coast Connect.
I like that.
Knocking it out of the park with a full cast. Yep. Well, not all 70, but a good deal of people. I'm surprised they all fit in there.
They're stacked.
They're on top of each other.
But that was great. Amazing to see. It looked as great as it sounded to us listening out here. So we do want to remind you, though, that we're still working over here trying to close out that last $8,500 to our goal of $8,000. This is the last day, so I know you procrastinators, this is the time. This is the hour. This is the phone number to call right now to make a pledge of support so we can finish this thing. 353-9528. 353-9528.
And if we got eight of you to join the First Coast Society at $1,000 with all the benefits that come with that, we would reach our goal right now. So if there's any way, whether it's $80 or $8,000 or $50 or $500, every penny goes into the programming fund to keep all this great programming coming your way. 353-9528. We're going to not quit until we hit this mark of 80,000. So let's help. Let's get the whole community to help us make our goal, and we will put this pledge drive to bed, and we won't come back till the fall. If you've never pledged before or supported this station, now's the day to do it. 353-9528. No amount too small or too large. If you have a small business or any kind of business, medium-sized business, give us your name, and we will give you a free plug on
That's
the radio
nice.
To our thousands of listeners. It's the right thing to do. Help us get through this goal. 353-9528.
And you are listening to WJCT. We do want to remind you that we have a match challenge for any people who have worked at before or currently work at Clay County Behavioral Health. If you make a pledge, then someone is going to match that donation up to $500. So call in if you are an employee there of Clay County Behavioral Health. Thank you to that person who is so generous to entice others to make the pledge of support, not just be a listener, but a listener supporter to this radio station. It takes everybody.
And you know, Michelle, we had a lot of people call in this morning to support their pets who listen to us all day long. You go to work, you leave the radio on so your dog or cat doesn't feel alone. And everyone called in and gave their pet's name. So we will keep that going. If you want to do a pledge in the name of your best friend, 353-9528 is the number to call. And we appreciate everyone who called so far. It's been a great morning, but it's not going to be a great day until we hit 80,000. So won't you take the time now to give us a call at 353-9528 or 1-800. Well, I'm blanking out, 722-9528. You think I'd know those numbers by heart by now.
WJCT are those last four numbers. So don't delay. We are closing in. We can wrap this up. We can be not talking to you like this on Thursday and Friday and be done with this. If everyone will decide what amount is right for them. Don't forget, we do have that monthly sustainer. A lot of people swear by that. They love it. They like that set it and forget it. Adjust it if you need to at any point, but they don't get reminded. It's just give us the information and they'll take $10 a month out of your account. All very secure as well. So the monthly sustainer is a great idea. Call us. We'll help you through that at 904-353-9528.
We are so close, and we want to call up all of our volunteers who are coming in tonight and say, never mind, we made it. So make that happen. If you can call us now, we will wrap up this drive early, and you'll be happy, and we'll be happy, because we'll be back to full-time programming, and that's really what we do best. 353-9528. Maybe it's $50, maybe it's $500. Whatever fits your budget is what we're asking you to share with us. It's a great investment. What else can you get for $50 for a year that gives you service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Mm-hmm. If you love our music, if you love our news and talk and our intelligent interactive programs like First Coast Connect and Diane Rehm, where you can actually reach out and ask the important people in your community a question, this is the only place to be. 353-9528. We're going to go to Diane Rehm. We remind you that you are listening to WJCT 89.9 Jacksonville, Florida, your NPR station. We want you to call us right now. 353-9528. Lots of great programming standing by to keep you entertained and enlightened all day long. But we can't make it possible without your financial support. 353-9528.
Don't forget that tax advantage. If you were just at the tax preparer's office, you know how great it is to have that deduction for giving to a nonprofit like WJCT. So make it big, make it now, and you'll appreciate it next time during tax season. So call us at 353-9528, 353-9528 here at WJCT's Spring Pledge Drive. We so appreciate your support. And go to those phones right now or go to WJCT.org.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.